is sung by Srila Narottam Das Thakur.
Ebara karuna kara Vaishnava Gosai Ebara karuna kara Vaishnava Gosai Patita Pavana Toma Minakeha Na Patita Pavana Toma Minakehona Yara Mikate Gele Papa Tore Jara Nikate Gele Papa Tore
Hare Krishna. Jai Vaishnava Jai Vaishnava Jai All glories to their seven devotees. All glories to their seven devotees. All glories to their seven devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru. So now, basically, we'll read the translation. So the translation of that song by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. O Vaishnav Goswami, please be merciful to me now. There is no one except you who can purify the fallen souls. Where does anyone find such a merciful personality by whose mere audience all sins go far away? After bathing in the waters of the sacred Ganges many times, one becomes purified. But just by the sight of you, the fallen souls are purified. This is your great power. The holy name delivers one who has committed an offence to Lord Hari. But if one commits an offence to you, there is no means of deliverance. Your heart is always the resting place of Lord Govinda. And Lord Govinda says, the Vaishnavs are in my heart. I desire the dust of your holy feet in every birth I may take. Please consider Narottam yours and be kind. So now, what I'm going to do is just read, actually, part of a chapter from a book by the name of Chaitanya Bhagavat, which was written by a great devotee by the name of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. He was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya. He was one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, although he was only born after Lord Chaitanya had been on the planet some time. But he's a very important personality. He's described by the great authorities, Vaishnava authorities, as being an incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva. And he particularly advented himself in order to compile the account of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Vyasadeva, he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, or Bhagavat Purana. So, in his form as Vrindavan Das Thakur, he compiled Chaitanya Bhagavatam, which is essentially the same. The idea is the same, basically, as in Srimad Bhagavatam, to elaborate on the pastimes of the Supreme Lord in that particular, those particular incarnations. He's also described, he's a rather unusual person. Not only is he an incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva, but at the same time, he's an incarnation of one of the cowherd boys, associates of Lord Krishna, or more particularly Lord Balaram, actually. Now, probably you're aware that Srila Prabhupada didn't actually translate and comment on Chaitanya Bhagavat. but he did translate and comment on Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was compiled even later, actually, than Chaitanya Bhagavat. Now, there are some reasons, some important reasons for that. Of course, we might well feel that seeing Vyasadeva is so important, you know, certainly one of the great authorities as far as compilation of scripture is concerned, then if Vrindavan Das Thakur is none other than Srila Vyasadeva, which he is, then why did Prabhupada not translate Chaitanya Bhagavat? Why Chaitanya Charitamrita? Well, there's a quite esoteric but important reason. That is that Chaitanya Charitamrita is written by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is an incarnation or a form of one of the very intimate gopis, one of the Manjaris. Offhand, I can't think of which one, I don't know if you know, but one of the Manjaris, who are the most intimate servants of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So, the position of Krishnadas Kaviraj as such an intimate associate of Radha and Krishna, his position spiritually is actually more elevated than that of Vyasadeva. His position is definitely more elevated than that of Vyasadeva. So his capacity to elaborate on the pastimes of the Lord, and particularly the more, you know, like the more confidential features of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, his position for doing that is much better. Confidential pastimes of Lord Chaitanya means his pastimes in which he is in the mood of Srimati Radharani and expressing the mood of the emotions of separation from Krishna, of Srimati Radharani. So, Vrindavan Das Thakur, as an incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva, is not in the same position in that regard. Vyasadeva is understood to be an incarnation of Narayan. Lord Narayan is not in the same position, particularly as the most intimate gopis are. Then on top of that, Vrindavan Das Thakur, as I mentioned, he's also an incarnation of one of the cowherd boys. Two persons in one body. Quite inconceivable by material standards, but spiritually speaking, this sort of thing appears to happen. So as a cowherd boy, the conjugal rasa is definitely something which is not really like his domain. The cowherd boys, other than the very few exceptional cases, who have some sort of entrance, but not that much, but some. Generally, the cowherd boys, they're not in the conjugal rasa. They don't really appreciate the conjugal rasa. But the cowherd boys, they have their own mood. Their mood is very boisterous, very frolicsome, and like that. They like to fight every now and then with Krishna. So when you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, it was translated and commented upon by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, actually. And one devotee has been making an attempt to translate that for about the last 10 years. But I think we've sort of given up hope on that. Someone else will probably have to do it. Anyway, you notice that, you know, if you read it, you notice this difference in mood between Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita definitely has like a more delicate mood, a more sensitive mood. I hope Vrindavan Das Thakur doesn't mind me saying this. But anyway, it seems quite clear, really, And Chaitanya Charitamrita has this very intimate mood, which can only come from, you know, such a very intimate associate of Radha and Krishna on the platform of their conjugal relationship. Whereas Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's this very boisterous air to it a lot. He's really a very interesting person, Vrindavana Sarma. So, you know, like a sort of, you could say, like heavier mood. I mean, you can see it's written by someone in a very male mood. You know, yeah, definitely like that. Boisterous. I think boisterous is a suitable sort of term, really. In certain places, it's very boisterous. And it's quite different from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, having said that, even though Chaitanya Charitamrita we would accept as being a more important literature, still Chaitanya Bhagavat is extremely important. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when he was writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, on a number of occasions, quite a number, he refers to Chaitanya Bhagavat because it had been written before, it was already existing, and it was already very well known. It was the standard literature, authorized literature about Lord Chaitanya. So Krishnadas Kaviraj knew about it very well, and he made some very nice statements about it. And I'll read some of them now. These are some verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, as Vyasadeva has compiled all the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam, Thakur Vrindavan Das has depicted the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Thakur Vrindavan Das has composed Chaitanya Bhagavat. Hearing this book will annihilate all misfortune. Oh, fools, that's not yourselves, I'm sure. He's just addressing the people in general. Oh, fools, just read Chaitanya Bhagavat. By reading this book, you can understand all the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By reading Chaitanya Bhagavat, one can understand all the glories or truths of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and come to the ultimate conclusion of devotional service to Lord Krishna. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has given the conclusion and essence of devotional service by quoting the authoritative statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. If even a great atheist hears Chaitanya Bhagavat, he immediately becomes a great devotee. The subject matter of this book is so sublime that it appears that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally spoken through the writings of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. I offer millions of obeisances unto the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur. No one else could write such a wonderful book for the deliverance of all fallen souls. What a wonderful description he's given of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Anyone in the three worlds who hears it is purified. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has written Chaitanya Bhagavat and therein described in all respects the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. In his book named Chaitanya Bhagavat, he has described these pastimes in many places. I request my readers to hear that book, for that is the best evidence. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is requesting us all to hear Chaitanya Bhagavat. So let us hear some Chaitanya Bhagavat. Now the translation is done by a person who's fairly competent but not really expert. So it's a bit rough, but anyway, the basic idea come through. So, this is the chapter 23 of the Madhyalila, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and that is the description of the first Naga Kirtan, the first public Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya, where he actually came out in the streets and performed Harinam Sankirtan with his associates. What happened was that Lord Chaitanya, after some time of performing his pastimes in Navadvip, he started encouraging all the other people in Navadvip to also perform Kirtan. He'd been doing it just inside one house in private, but then he started encouraging that it become public, and that the people actually go out into the streets and perform Kirtan. So they started doing that, but the Qazi, the notorious Qazi, those of you who are a little familiar with Lord Chaitanya's pastimes would know about Chand Qazi. So the Qazi, he objected strongly. He was like the local magistrate, or more or less like the local governor, really. So he objected. He was a Muslim. So he came out and attacked the devotees as they were performing kirtan, smashed some mridanga drums, had his soldiers beat up some of the devotees who were chanting in public, and said, if I catch you again, then I'm going to turn you into Muslims by sprinkling water on your heads. Which actually is not a way of becoming a Muslim, but unfortunately that was like the myth of the day. One of the myths of the day, that if someone sprinkles some Muslim water on you, then you're automatically a Muslim, like it or not. I mean, you still may have the same attitudes religiously and the same convictions. You know, it's not that you now suddenly just become transformed into a devotee of Allah, but you just are now a Muslim, and that's just all there is to it. So, he threatened this. So the devotees were very frightened. So they stopped their kirtan. But Lord Chaitanya didn't appreciate that at all. So then Lord Chaitanya organized this massive kirtan. Massive, massive kirtan. Millions of people. And anyway, we'll read about that now. So this, we're just going into the chapter at the point where the Qazi has just attacked the devotees, and the devotees have decided to no longer perform their kirtan outside. The devotees did not protest against the Qazi's ban out of fear. They went to the Lord and reported to him, "We've stopped our kirtan out of fear for the Qazi, whose men in hundreds search the streets and houses. We'll have to leave Navadvip and settle elsewhere. We've come to tell you this." When Lord Chaitanya heard that someone was trying to stop the Sankirtan movement, he became infuriated. He looked awesome, almost like Lord Shiva at the time of the cosmic annihilation. He roared loudly, like the rumbling of thunder. And the devotees, afraid of the sudden change in the Lord, held their ears as if begging forgiveness from the Lord for a mistake they'd not committed. The Lord said, "Nityananda, be prepared. Go immediately to all the Vaishnavas and assemble them on the streets. I shall bring out a kirtan party and take it all over Navadvip. I'll see what anyone can do to me. You'll see how I burn the Qazi's house down. Today, I shall shower incessant rains of love of Godhead on everyone. Today, the atheists will face their final hour. So do not waste a moment, my brothers. Go and deliver this message to everyone. Tell them that if they are desirous of seeing Krishna's mystic potency in action, then let them bring a flaming torch with them. I'll smash the Qazi's palace, and I'll do kirtan all along. The entire creation is full of my devotees, and when I'm present there, then what is there to fear? Go and put a stop to your anguish. Come and assemble here in the afternoon, after lunch." The devotees dispersed right away, each going his way in great anticipation, not caring about eating or anything. Excited talks filled every home that Nimai Pandit will take out a Sankirtan party and dance in the streets of Navadvip. For the many thousands who are lamenting for so long, people with torches poured out of their houses onto the streets. Who could count the millions of torches? The women, children, and old men were excited with great anticipation. Slowly,
the clusters of devotees moved towards Nimai Pandit's door. When Lord Chaitanya heard that all the Vaishnavas had assembled at his request and were at his doorstep, he went to meet them and began to organize them in groups. Advaita Acharya was to head up a group as the chief dancer, and he was to be supported by a kirtan group. In another group, Haridas Thakur was the dancer, and he also was backed up by a kirtan group. Yet another group was to have Shivas Pandit as the main dancer. The Lord's eyes fell on Nityananda, who immediately said, "I'll not leave your side, my Lord. My only duty is to always be near you. I can never leave your lotus feet, which are embedded in my heart. What power do I possess to dance independently from you? My devotional service to you is to always be with you." When Lord Chaitanya saw the streams of tears of ecstasy flowing from Nityananda's eyes, he embraced him and kept him near him. In this way, each devotee had his desires fulfilled. Some went off with the different groups, while others stayed close to the Lord, dancing and singing. Now, readers, please listen attentively to the description of this Naga Kirtan, for this description will cut asunder the bonds of karmic reactions. Here is the list of some of the main devotees who took part. Gadadhar Pandit, Vakreshwara, Murari, Srivas Pandit, Gopinath, Jagadish, Vipra Gangadas, Ramai, Govindanandana, Chandrasekhar, Vasudev, Sri Garba, Mukunda, Sridhar, Govinda, Jagadananda, Nandanacharya, Shuklambra. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya are innumerable, and I do not even know all their names. Vedavyas will reveal all their names in the future in the Puranas. It is not humanly possible to describe how the Lord danced along with all his different associates. One thing you'll notice, is that Vrindavan Das Thakur, as we go through this description, he becomes so overwhelmed by ecstasy that on three occasions he elaborately describes the appearance of the Lord. Three separate occasions. So he just gets totally caught up in the mood of ecstasy. It seems like it's repetitive, but it's not really. It's just how he's absorbed in so much ecstasy. The Sankirtan pastimes of the Lord are unique. Never were such pastimes ever revealed before in any other incarnation. As the kirtan picked up strength, the Lord's joy also increased. The devotees were carried in waves of sublime joy. The Lord, the husband of the goddess of fortune, was dancing on Navadvipa streets, and anyone who saw him became free from all sorrows. Soon dusk fell, but the devotees were totally engrossed in the kirtan, oblivious of the material realm. Millions of men, women, and children lined the streets, standing in the doorways, seeing the moving mass of devotees, and hearing the tumultuous singing of the Lord's holy name, echoing and filling the whole cosmos. And above this tremendous tumult rang out, loud and clear, the Lord's own thunderous voice. The devotees replied with equal enthusiasm, chanting Lord Hari's name. Then, as if by previous arrangement, all the torches were lit at the same time like magic. Millions of flaming torches lit up the darkened sky, matched only by the millions of hearts which glowed with the magic of sublime bliss. Words fail to describe the marvelous sight. One could have easily been confused whether it was a full moon night or broad daylight, or whether Krishna himself had descended in the form of his Brahmajyoti. The Lord again called out loud the name of Lord Hari, and the devotees became attentive. They surrounded the Lord with kirtan. All the devotees were decorated with flower garlands around their necks, and their bodies were smeared with sandalwood paste and scented vermilion powder. Each one had some musical instrument in his hands, and each one looked more powerful than thousands of lions. The Lord looked around him to see his devoted servitors, eagerly waiting to render him any service. he began to dance, lifting the devotees to soaring heights of ecstasy. Everyone began chanting loudly, and whoever saw the Lord's moonlight, beautiful face was released from the searing pain of material existence. The Lord's charming looks overshadowed the attractiveness of millions of cupids put together. I'm at a loss to find appropriate similes to describe the Lord's beauty, yet I venture to do so by his mercy alone. Otherwise, who can dare to attempt such an impossible task? He glowed like a mountain of gold. His body, smeared with sandal paste, sometimes looked like the rising full moon. His curly dark tresses were decorated with fragrant mulati garlands. A sweet smile clung intimately to his lips, so beautiful it could win the heart of any sage. Clear markings of sandalwood tilak, with a red dot of vermilion, adorned his beautiful broad forehead. He raised his arms to the sky, chanting the name of Hari and dancing. The knee-long flower garland around his neck swayed with each movement. His upraised arms glistened like fine tapering pillars of gold. His body became drenched with the incessant flow of ecstatic tears from his lotus petal eyes. As his ecstatic feelings increased, the hairs of his body stood on end like kadamba flowers. His moist, reddish lips looked exquisite, and when they parted, they revealed a symmetrical set of pearl-like white teeth. His long, arched eyebrows flowed almost all the way to the beginning of his ears. His strong shoulders shamed the king of elephants, and his chest was broad and full. His Brahmin thread hung loosely across his chest. Lakshmi Devi and Tulsi Devi are constantly praying for the shelter of his lotus feet. The Supreme Lord was wearing fine, clean clothes, arranged very artistically on his body. His up-tilted nose was aristocratic, and the sinewy tendons of his neck made it appear to be the neck of the king of the forest. Strong and powerful, he towered over the others. His long body, well-formed and proportioned, shone like a mountain of gold. Everyone who looked at him was overwhelmed by his divine and beautiful presence. The millions who milled around for this momentous occasion were very fortunate. In spite of their large numbers, they all received the Lord's benedictions by being able to see his exquisite, transcendental face. They simply stared at him, irresistibly drawn to his beauty. And when they exclaimed out loud the Lord's name, each time, uncontrollable emotions welled within their hearts. The citizens had nicely decorated their doorways with banana trees, water pots, mango leaves, and green coconuts. Ghee lamps flickered in every house, and offering plates sat on the altars with yogurt, grains, and dhruva grass. All this happened as if at the command of some unseen voice. Out on the street, men, women, and children joined the congregation, all intoxicated with sublime joy, oblivious to every other care. Seeing the carefree citizens leaving their houses unguarded, a thief thought to himself, "This is a good opportunity for me to clean out the people's belongings." But as a little time passed, and the chanting entering his ears took effect, the thief became freed of his stealing tendency, and also joined in with the others, joyously chanting Lord Hari's sweet, transcendental name. The streets were strewn with puffed rice and coins thrown by the citizens as they watched the chanting procession passing by, and then later they themselves joined up with the procession, and so the number of marchers swelled again and again. One should not consider these descriptions to be exaggerations. Such happenings are commonplace when the Supreme Lord is present. When Lord Krishna was in Dwaraka, it's described in Srimad Bhagavatam that he made appear in the twinkling of an eye 900,000 palaces, all bedecked with jewels and marble. Again in the Harivamsa it is described that when Lord Krishna was having water sports with the Yadus in the saltwater ocean that surrounds Dwaraka, the entire ocean in a moment turned nectarian sweet. And now, that very same Supreme Lord was almost unconscious with sublime bliss, dancing and chanting. So naturally, all auspicious happenings were occurring. The ocean of people now surged forward in slow, fluid motion, like the currents of the Ganga that flowed beside them. They all danced and chanted, surrounding the dancing golden form of the Lord. Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur, Srivas Pandit, and other senior associates of the Lord led huge groups of dancing and chanting devotees, everyone exulting in the bliss of the Lord's presence. Those who normally could not sing were now singing with sweet melodious voices. The Lord was surrounded by the best singers, like Murari, Mukunda Dutt, Ramai, Govinda, Vakreshvara, Vasudeva, and others. Lord Nityananda and Gadadhar Pandit danced on either side of the Lord, submerged in divine bliss. And always the dancing and prancing form of the Lord brought wonderment and exhilaration in the hearts of all those who beheld his golden form. This was a magnificent sight. The dancers moved forward in rhythmic motions, and the millions of burning torches were also in motion, their licking flames animated in a passionate dance. It was night, but the dancing figure of the Lord was clearly visible, as if bathed in autumn full moonlight. Sometimes his body was covered with shining dust particles, and at other times he bathed his transcendental form in cascading tears of ecstasy. The different ecstatic symptoms appeared in his body, sometimes shivering, sometimes profuse perspiration, again at times standing of the hairs on end, changing like the season. The sound of the Lord's name reverberated throughout the universe. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Nama, Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudan. Some devotees danced on their own, but there were many large groups of devotees dancing together, keeping time by clapping hands. Another wonderful sight was that some devotees were carrying torches and oil containers at the same time. Navadvip was ringing with sounds of sublime jubilation, as if the Lord's spiritual abode, Vaikuntha, had descended. And then the residents of Navadvip suddenly acquired the same characteristics as the residents of Vaikuntha. All the devotees suddenly manifested 4 arms, but because they were so engrossed in the ecstasy of chanting and dancing, they did not even notice this divine transformation on their own bodies. The ever-increasing bliss of Vaikuntha was now here. As they passed along the bank of the Ganga, Lord Chaitanya dancing in their midst, looked like Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. He held a flute in his hands, and the garland of wild flowers around his neck swayed. The devotees had never experienced the ecstasy of such a massive congregational chanting party. They forgot their bodily identities and their tribulations. They sang and danced and rolled on the ground. Many persons became emboldened and made their views heard to the public. One shouted, "Where did the rascal Kazi go now? If I can find him, I'll sever his head." Others shouted out aloud the names of certain atheistic persons and beat the ground, as if sealing their fate with a stroke. Some of them even ran helter-skelter, trying to locate the rascals. There was no counting the number of people singing, or how many were playing on mridanga drums. Navadvip was flooded with the nectarian rain of love of God, so much so that even the eternal residents of Vaikuntha were hankering to take part. Even Lord Ananta, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma never experienced this kind of joy. Sublime bliss had descended over the entire planet as the Lord danced with his associates and devotees, and there was no place for anything inauspicious or impure. This was the Lord's first major Naga Sankirtan. The procession moved on, but no one knew where they were going. There was just one resounding thunder of the Lord's name piercing the coverings of the material world. Hari Nam was all-pervading.
The demigods, accompanied by their associates, came to see the Lord. When they saw him, they also, like the human beings, became overwhelmed with transcendental joy. They mingled in with the crowd, dressed as humans to avoid detection, and joined in with great gusto, singing and dancing. All the demigods were present: Brahma, Shiva, Varuna, Kuvera, Indra, Yamaraj, Soma, Chandra, etc. They became aware that everyone present there was experiencing transcendental ecstasy, so they went along with the devotees, wanting more of the Lord's association. Thus, the human beings and the demigods were chanting the Lord's holy name together. As the procession passed the uncountable houses, all nicely decorated, the marketplaces and the large squares, one could understand that Navadvip was a very well-populated and opulent town. It was impossible to count the people that lived there. It seemed that because the Supreme Lord was to advent here, that he had arranged for many people to live there and participate in a Sankirtan movement. Just the number of ladies who were chanting was so vast that counting them would have been futile. Everyone who saw the Lord dancing and chanting like a golden lightning bolt was unable to contain their hearts and emotions. Even those with hearts of stone were moved to tears and fell to the ground, seeing how the Lord showered his causeless mercy and hearing the sighs and sobs of sublime ecstasy from the devotees. As the Lord danced, repeating over and over again Lord Hari's name, his flower garland swayed wildly. His beauty was breathtaking. The way the Brahmin thread hung carelessly over his shoulders, the dhoti nicely pleated and tucked and placed neatly, his golden frame covered with fine glimmering dust. Tears flowed unrestrained from his lotus eyes, like the overpowering flow of the Mandakini Ganga of the heavenly planets. Who would have liked to see the moon after having seen the blooming lotus face of the Lord? As some of his tears clung to his fine nose, they shone like a string of white pearls. His glossy black locks entwined in the garlands around his head made a fine sight. The devotees prayed, "O Lord, please grant us this one desire, that we may remember and hold within our hearts this pastime, birth after birth." The devotees were asking in this manner for benedictions from the Lord, as the Lord continued his extraordinary dancing pastime, surrounded by his intimate associates. The Lord knew how to inspire the devotees to come and join, and he danced, always reciprocating the mood and movement of the devotees. The Lord of Vaikuntha danced, as the devotees called out to the people, "Come and sing, Hari, Hari, all of you. Fear not, for the holy name, even though not chanted purely, will deliver you from death." The author humbly describes in poetry the description of Lord Chaitanya as he danced. Lord Vishvambha, the Lord of the universe, danced along the bank of the Ganga. The devotees eagerly covered themselves with dust from the ground that his lotus feet had touched. Wonderful ecstatic symptoms manifested on his body, and tears, which tasted like nectar, cascaded from his eyes. With a voice which rumbled like thunder, he chanted Lord Hari's name. Smiling sweetly, he raised his arms and sang. His golden form was much more enchanting than Cupid. He was charmingly dressed, and his black, curly hair was decorated with fresh, fragrant flower garlands. Such beauty sent the mind reeling, as if afflicted by the five amorous arrows of Cupid. In complete ecstasy, Lord Vishvambha moved about in a restless dance, intoxicated with the holy name. His body and limbs were perfectly shaped and beautiful, being nicely smeared with sandal paste. The garland around his neck swayed with his ecstatic movements. The arch of his eyebrows was like Cupid's bow, shooting arrows of enchantment. His teeth were white and glistened like pearls. His benign face was an ocean of mercy. How can I describe the many hundreds of ecstatic emotions that that manifested in him, sometimes tears or shivering or perspiration. At times he bent his body in three places, just like Krishna, and played the flute on his fingers. He moved about like a maddened elephant. He was the cynosure of every eye. His Brahmin friend decorated his broad chest as if Ananta Shesh had taken that thin form to serve his Lord. Lord Nityananda and Gadadhar and all the other intimate devotees danced by his side, and each time they looked at the Lord, they saw the Lord smiling back at them. By chanting the name of this Lord, Lord Shiva becomes mad and goes about naked, and now that same Lord is moving in the streets of Navadvipa, performing congregational chanting. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, is hankering always to touch and dress the Supreme Lord's black, curly locks, and is so attracted by his dress. And now, that self-same Supreme Lord is so engrossed in chanting and dancing that he's rolling in the dust in ecstasy. Following him are his devotees, carrying millions of flaming torches, lighting up the whole world like the full moon. And not a soul could refrain from chanting the Lord's holy name. Lord Nityananda was always by the Lord's side, knowing Vishvambar's every mood. So whenever the Lord swooned in ecstasy, Lord Nityananda held out his hands to hold him. As he held him this time, Lord Vishvambar slowly sat down in a meditative pose, and, clapping his hands gleefully, began to loudly chant, Hari, Hari. Then he began to speak very straightforwardly and boldly. I'm the Supreme Lord, Narayan. I killed that demon Kamsa, and I deceived Bali Maharaj. I constructed that bridge over the ocean to Lanka, and killed the demon Ravana. I'm Lord Ramachandra. In this manner, he revealed his real supreme identity. Not everyone could understand this esoteric truth, for it is inconceivable to the human mind. And then, in the next moment, to increase their confusion, the Lord changed his mood completely and said with utmost humility and meekness, O Lord, please grant me devotion at your lotus feet. Whichever way the Lord acted, so he's sort of fluctuating between manifesting his mood as the Lord and his mood as a devotee. Whichever way the Lord acted was so mind-robbing. He even put his toe in his mouth. The Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord Vishvambar, was dancing all over Navadvipa town. This town is actually the Swetadvipa of the spiritual world. This will later be explained in the Vedas. Amidst the mridanga drums, conch shells, and cartels whose number was countless, and the chanting of the holy name, danced the Lord like the crest jewel in a crown. All glory to Sankirtan. All glory to Lord Vishvambar. All glory to the devotees of the Lord. Whichever way I look, I see Lord Vishvambar, drowning everyone in the nectar ocean of love of God. The procession sometimes moved fast and sometimes slow, depending on how long the Lord danced in one place. The chanting was jubilant and echoed in the spiritual abode of Vaikuntha. The Lord, the cynosure of everyone's eyes, moved about like a mad lion, intoxicated with the holy name. The procession passed many bathing places and proceeded towards Simulia. No one was tired. Millions were singing and dancing, and a million flaming torches made it difficult to discern whether it was midday or midnight. The people welcomed the procession with flowers and decorated doorways. As they passed each house, the demigods rained a confetti of fragrant flowers. Mother Earth was thrilled with ecstasy as the Lord walked and danced on her surface. She wanted the Lord to walk on a soft surface, so she collected the strewn flowers and made a beautiful pathway with them, which looked like her delicate tongue. Srivas, Advaita, and Haridas were dancing in groups of their own, going ahead of Lord Chaitanya. As the procession entered each new locality, people left their homes and ran to see the Lord. They forgot all other duties and relatives, They are all eager to see the beautiful moonlight face of the Supreme Soul of the entire creation. Without consciously realizing, they are all being drawn into the Sankirtan party. Without being aware, they were all becoming intoxicated with the holy name of Krishna. They began manifesting symptoms of supramundane joy. Some rolled on the ground. Some made sounds with their mouths as if playing musical instruments. Others were embracing anyone they met. They became so intoxicated by the chanting and dancing that many were seen simply offering prostrated obeisances, falling to the ground like a rod. And there are others who are running around, catching the devotees' feet, and simply crying in ecstasy. One could hear many comments from different people. Someone said, "I'm Nimai Pandit. I've been assigned to deliver the world." Another commented, "I'm a Vaishnav from Swetadweep." Yet another remarked, "I'm an eternal resident of Vaikuntha." Again, someone said, "Where's that rascal Kazi? I'll crush his head if I lay my hands on him." Incited by such comments, some ran to try to capture an atheist and climbed up a tree and then jumped down angrily shouting, "I'm death to 12 atheists." Another said, "Can you hear me, O God of death? Tell me, where's your son, the sun god?" The Lord of Vaikuntha, who'd appeared as Sachi's son, was here and now chanting and dancing. The floodgates of the holy name were flung open by him. The holy names, which gave the god of death Yamaraj the name Dharmaraj, or the upholder of religious principles, and the holy name that saved the worst of sinners, Ajamil, from the jaws of doom, was now being freely distributed by the Lord himself. And those who could not chant the name could at least hear it chanted and reap the transcendental benefits. Chitragupta, the compiler of people's good and evil deeds in life, he's the secretary of Yamaraj, has to be immediately informed that the records of the evil deeds of these people have to be thrown away. "I cannot be blamed if I take stern action against him if he disobeys, since now every living entity is delivered." That holy name has converted Varanasi into one of the most important places of pilgrimage. That holy name is always chanted by the purest of devotees, who are the eternal residents of the spiritual abode. Lord Shiva has become worshipable by all the demigods and humans because he's relishing every moment the sweet nectar of that holy name. That very name is now being heard by every living entity. So the devotees warned all the atheists that if they didn't discard the evil ways and take up the chanting of the holy name and the worship of Lord Chaitanya, then they would destroy them. The devotees loudly challenged the atheists to now come forward and try to stop their chanting of Krishna's name. They struck the ground with great force with their fists, as if beating to pulp a rascal atheist. The effects of chanting the holy name had so divinely maddened them that they were not aware of what they did or said. The devotees looked so effulgent. They were decorated with sandal paste and flower garlands. They were so fully engrossed in the holy name that they became oblivious to everything. The Sankirtan party proceeded towards Simulia. As the devotees chanted and danced, the Lord also chanted and danced right in their midst. The activities of the devotees increased the Lord's ecstasy. No one could imagine how so much water was contained in the Lord's lotus eyes. Incessant tears cascaded in rivulets of pure nectarian water. Sometimes shivering overcame him, and he lay on the ground. And even Nityananda Prabhu was lamenting because he could not hold him still. And when, at the pinnacle of ecstasy, he fell unconscious, then no force of life was found in him for a long time. This was the wonder of wonders. The Lord was now heading towards the Kazi's house. the sound of chanting and revelry became clearly audible to the inmates of the Qazi's palace. When the